Our Sabbath school today was on the Sabbath, and I thought, well, we should talk about the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, was it last Wednesday? I was at a Bible study, and we got into discussing, how do you keep the Sabbath? What do you do on the Sabbath? You know, part of the challenge is most people accuse us of being legalists. So how do you keep the Sabbath and not be a legalist? Okay, you know, most of us don't think about it, but is keeping the Sabbath being a legalist? Okay, let's take a different commandment. If I don't worship idols, does that mean I'm a legalist? Maybe. Because if you don't worship idols, you could be a legalist, or you could not be a legalist. The point is, why do you not worship idols? Okay? Now, some of us don't worship idols because if I worship idols, God's going to fry me forever. And some people don't worship idols because, don't you know, God doesn't want us to worship idols? Which is the right reason not to worship idols? Because I'm too busy worshiping God. I don't have time for the idols. I don't care about idols. Idols are nothing. Okay, so if I'm worshiping God by keeping the Sabbath, does that mean I'm a legalist? Maybe. Okay, one way you can tell if you're a legalist is how you worship the Sabbath. A legalist has a motive issue. Okay, so if your motive, maybe I should say it this way. Are you a sad Sabbath keeper or a glad Sabbath keeper? Do you follow what I'm saying? When the Sabbath comes along, you say, oh no, I've got to keep another Sabbath. I've got to not do what I really want to be doing. You notice the difference? Between somebody that says, wow, the Sabbath is coming, I can't wait for it. Okay? Now, when I was in Central America, I had an interesting experience. I was a brand new Sabbath keeper. I was thinking of Karen's experience with her driving to shop on Sabbath. You don't know much about Sabbath keeping, because most Jews don't do a very good job at keeping the Sabbath. But I remember this was down in Central America. We lived kind of out a little ways in the bush, and there was a river that ran by where we were. This is all jungle. And so on Sabbath, I thought, well, I love to swim. When I was a kid, I used to swim for miles and miles in Michigan. The land of lakes there. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go swimming on Sabbath. So what I did, didn't tell anybody, got my bathing suit, and I hiked up the river about 3 miles, and there was like nobody because this is out in the middle of nowhere. And I jumped in the water, and I floated down the river. And it was an incredible experience, you know. I remember coming into a little area where there was a cave, and I swam into the cave, and I looked up, and the whole cave was covered with bats from top to bottom. And you could see chameleons, you can see parrots, you can see all sorts of birds. I mean, this is the jungle. There were deer. Do you guys know there are deer in the jungle? There were deer. And I got, you know, after about an hour or so of floating down the river, I got back out, and I came back, and the lady who was in charge of the compound there, she says, what you been doing? I said, well, I was out swimming. She says, don't you know you're not supposed to be swimming on Sabbath? Well, mine said, why? Okay. You know, sometimes we don't always think of things ahead of time. Sometimes we as Adventists, we just do what everybody's told us to do. Is it a good thing to think? Anybody like to think? Okay, what does the Lord say? Come, let us reason. Okay, so you got to use your reason. So, I asked her, I said, well, tell me, why is it wrong to swim on Sabbath? She says, well, Ellen White said so. I said, that's not answering my question. Tell me, why is it wrong to swim on Sabbath? And she says, well, you might see somebody that's not real well clad, you know. All the girls dressed in bikinis, whatever. And I said, I didn't see any of those. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? Oh, in the middle of nowhere. I said, no girls in bikinis. And I said, well, wouldn't you not want to go the rest of the week as well if that was a problem? You see, you got to think about how all this works. So I said, okay, I want to know more. I really want to do the right thing, but I want to know why to do the right thing, not just to do it. And I want to know why things are right and why things are wrong. Otherwise, you end up, do we want to have a church where we got like a pope that tells us what to do and you don't think? So you got to have a good reason. So I asked her, I said, well, what would be wrong with swimming? She says, well, you don't want to be, you know, in the pool having, you know, playing water polo or something. I said, well, okay, that's the thought. I said, I guess it's the same reason you don't want to be playing football on Sabbath, because, you know, usually football doesn't really make you think about Jesus, okay? Makes you think about who's going to win and who am I going to knock down, okay? I said, okay, that makes sense. So the question I asked, and I want to ask you, is it wrong to swim on Sabbath or not? Maybe we should ask another question. Are movie theaters bad? See, we don't ask these questions as we should. And I told somebody, I'm going to be asking all the tough questions up front this Sabbath. They said, oh, you're brave. I said, why would I be brave to just ask questions? Well, because everybody fights over these things. Okay. So let's go to movie theaters for a minute. Are movie theaters bad? How many have been in movie theaters lately? What kind of things happen in a movie theater? Say that again? Advertise at home on your TV? When you're in a movie theater, you might see somebody eating popcorn, right? Okay? Are you following? Now, I'm a conservative, but I need to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. Okay? Ah, so actually, who's sitting next to you? Well, I guess there could be somebody dressed there with, you know, something that less than stellar, but that could happen at your house too. So the real key is what's on the screen. The theater is not the problem. Okay, I'll take some comments in a little bit. I want to think about this. So I did my homework on the theater, and I looked up the theater. And I was looking in Ellen White's writings, and I said, oh, yeah. She says, that's not the place to go. And so I looked up, now, did Ellen White have movies in her day? Were there movies? Okay, so she's not talking about the movie theater. She's talking about what kind of theater? You guys, have you done your homework? The movie theater in her day was the bar. It was like a bar. And they had a stand-up comic. Okay? And the stand-up comic would tell all sorts of raunchy, is that a good word for church? Raunchy stories. Made me think of George Carlin. Do you guys know who George Carlin is? Okay, thank God if you don't know him. But he's a stand-up comic that doesn't know how to do anything but cuss. Okay? And so what she's thinking of when she thinks of the theater, if you do your homework, she's thinking of being in a setting where everybody's drinking and carousing and listening to some guy spout out all sorts of garbage. Now, would that make sense? Would that mean in the theater setting, that kind of setting would not be the place to go? Does that make sense? Okay. But see, we sometimes don't think ahead. We throw out the baby with the bathwater, okay? So I'm back to the theater still. But if you're going to go to the theater and you say, well, it's okay, I don't go to the theater, so I'm okay. But you can stay at home and watch George Carlin. Is it okay at home? You follow what I'm saying? So we have to think ahead. Not because there's anything wrong with the theater. If they had, you know, Mark Finley on the screen at the theater, I'd be really tempted to go. Would that be a problem if he was on the screen there? Okay. But I don't go to the theater, not because there's a problem with the theater, but because I don't want other people to misunderstand my actions. So I avoid the appearance of evil, not for the non-Adventist, but for the Adventist. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, let's go back to Sabbath keeping. Is it good to swim or not to swim on Sabbath? Maybe. Is it a bad thing to take a walk on Sabbath through the woods or through the cornfields, depending on what you're surrounded by? Here it's cornfields. Or is there a problem with walking on the Sabbath? Okay. How about if I walk on the beach and I get my feet wet on the Sabbath? Is that? Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay. So the key is to think ahead and to figure this one out by using your noggin. You want to understand just what somebody told you, okay? So I sat down and I reasoned with the lady that was arguing with me about swimming, and I said, so is there anything wrong with just, you know, swimming by yourself? I explained to her what I did. She says, well, I guess that's okay, but it's still swimming. Don't let anybody know you went swimming. It's because we misunderstand, okay? So what we're going to do today is we're going to do a little homework. We're going to look at what the Bible says. We talked about Sabbath keeping already during Sabbath school. But we're going to take a look at what the Bible says, and we're going to actually see what the text is saying. And in Sabbath keeping, if you want to be particular, which I think we should be, we need to know what areas are black and white and what areas are gray. Are there gray areas in Sabbath keeping? Or is everything black and white? Is everything black and white? Maybe? Okay, let's take a look. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to take a look, see what the Bible says. And I might get some people upset, but that's my job. The key is that you guys respond. If I'm saying something that's not biblical, speak up, okay? I'll even have a microphone if you need to. Exodus chapter 20. Now, the other key to keeping Sabbath in a way that's a blessing is not to be a legalist, okay? Is a legalist somebody who obeys God? Yeah? No? Maybe? What for? Yes, but not from the heart. Okay. So a legalist does the right thing, but for the wrong reason. A true follower of God does the right thing for the right reason. Okay? So if I'm a Sabbath keeper, I can make my kids hate the Sabbath by telling them if they don't obey the Sabbath, they're going to get it. Right? Is that the way to encourage them to love the Sabbath? How do you encourage a kid to love the Sabbath? Okay, I want you guys to think, because, you know, especially if you have kids, you don't want them to hate the Sabbath. I meet kids all the time that say, you don't know what my parents were like when I was a kid. We couldn't do anything. It was miserable. We hated it. Is that what you want for your kids? And then once they get to 18 or 20 or whatever, when they're over at Walla Walla, how many of them keep the Sabbath? When they have the freedom? You want them to love not only Sabbath keeping, but all the commandments. Okay? Let's read the text, and then we'll get into discussing how do you make the Sabbath joyful rather than miserable. Okay. Exodus 20, starting with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor of the Lord, and in it you shall not do any work. Okay? So now, let's just clarify before we go any further. During the 6 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to work. We're supposed to work to pay the bills, take care of the family, you know, whatever. And then on Sabbath, it says we're not supposed to what? Work, okay? Now notice what else it says. God's very merciful here when you look at the text. It says, you're not only to not work, but you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle. I don't know how many here have cattle, but your cattle aren't supposed to work either. Nor the stranger that is within your gates. Somebody who's come to visit, okay? And then it says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, or all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay, so let's just look at this. What is work?
Toiling.
Say that again?
Toiling.
Toiling, okay. So is it work? I want you, you know, you got to go through this because I had one guy, give you an example. One guy, he says, well, on Sabbath, I fix the car. He says, it relaxes me, okay? And let me finish. So he said, that's what I do on Sabbath. I fix the car. And I said, is that work? He says, it's not work. Nobody pays me for it. So the question you have to ask, is work something that you get paid for, or can you not get paid for something that's still considered work?
The word secular.
Secular, okay. Let me get the microphone. So I don't have to repeat everything you're saying here. If I could do this with one hand. There we go. Okay.
Okay, so we think about the difference between holy and secular. Mm-hmm. And I think in order to understand what's secular, you need to understand what's holy, or I think most of us are at, we don't understand, you know, our focus should be on what's holy. How, you know, how does it look? How, what does it feel like? And reading the Spirit of Prophecy, which really helps to fill in a lot of the gaps, gives you a lot of insight in,
that's true,
you know, and examples of what to do and how to prepare for the Sabbath. What kinds of things, simple little things like, you know, I think she calls it blacking your shoes, you know, things that are preparing that aren't a ton of work, but they're secular. They're things that can be done in preparation for a day that's holy.
Okay, so when you're preparing for the Sabbath, now the key to remembering what you're doing on all of this is your motive. What is your motive? Why are you doing this in the first place? What's the point? I know people who have holy rest. They sleep halfway through the Sabbath. Is that what God wants? Lots of sleep. Now, you might want it if you've been working yourself to death all week. You get to Sabbath and, you know, what's the point of having a day off? So we can spend time with Him, so we can think about Him, so we can honor Him, so we can be in a place where our minds are focused on God rather than focused on selling cars or tilling the soil or whatever we're doing, okay? There's no distraction. Okay, now we can till the soil during the week and still think about God, but I can do a lot better job thinking about God without having to till the soil. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so God is really not saying, I'm just doing this to make you miserable. He's saying, I'm doing this because I want to spend time with you. Can we have some time together? I got a date with my favorite person, and that's Saturday. And so the key is having enough time. Karen, you want to pass that back to Darla?
I really liked this time of year, especially, and the trees and the clouds, and just enjoy the animals that we see. My son is here this weekend, and he has a wolf dog, It's beautiful. Big one. And it's been so fun to watch him. His eyes are a different color than a dog. And just, you know, God's nature is just unbeatable.
Okay. So going out into nature gets you thinking about who? The Creator. Okay, so the key is that you have the Creator in mind. I'll put this over here. That you have the Creator in mind. So God is not out here trying to say, okay, I'm going to limit your time so you can, you know, you can't work. You're thinking about how am I going to pay the bills, and I can't do anything today. This is frustrating. I'm just sitting around waiting so until the sunset comes so I can really do what I want. I know Adventists like that. When the sunset comes, then we can really enjoy ourselves. We can have fun because the Sabbath is really miserable. Is that the way? I mean, you know, I think in God's mind, he would say, I'd rather not have you even keep the Sabbath if the Sabbath is miserable. I don't want you to hate it. And in turn, I don't want you to hate me. Okay, so God is saying, look, there is a special time, and I want you to take that time. And not only do I want you not to be working, but I don't want the people living with you to be working. I don't want God as well, a special day. And so that even the cattle are supposed to, can cattle worship God? You follow what I'm saying? And so go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is another text that talks about this. And we're going to read through a few texts here. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and starting with verse 14. 5:14. So there's some things in the commandment we just read that's pretty clear. We're not supposed to work. It doesn't tell us all the other details. It doesn't talk about how much cooking you should do. It doesn't talk about all those details, okay? Now, you have to ask God for wisdom and discernment, and you follow your conscience on it. The problem comes is that when we dictate to other people what they should do on Sabbath, okay? It's clear it says we shouldn't be working. And that includes work that doesn't you don't get any pay for, okay? So in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 14, it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. There's the work again. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your donkey. Even your donkey gets to rest. Nor any of your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. So God's giving you a little more information. He's saying the whole point is to rest and get to know me. Spend time with me. Okay.
Have you read the story of the Sabbath ox? Yes.
I don't think I have.
That's a wonderful story.
Okay, this.
A fellow was.
Hold on a second. Let me get your microphone so you can tell the story. You remember the story?
It was in the Soviet Union.
Okay.
In the Soviet Union, where they were ostracized and sent to up where it was frozen all the time.
Siberia.
Siberia. And there's this one fellow who was done that. He was, I believe he was a pastor, if I can remember correctly. Mm-hmm. But they treated him something horrible. He finally said, if you'll let me have my Sabbath off, I will do all that you want. So he was commanded to bring in water for the camp. Okay. In the middle of the winter there, and he'd have to go dig a hole. They gave him a sled and an ox. Well, as it turned out, he tried to do it as fast as he could through the 6 days of the week so he could mm-hmm. have a Sabbath off because they needed a certain amount of supply of water. So what seemed to go fast, but the ox only had one speed. But on Friday, that ox took off. He would have to sometimes run after the sled.
Okay.
And that ox went full speed the whole time. And when it approached Sabbath, that ox went and sit down and wouldn't get up till the Sabbath was over.
Okay.
That was a true Sabbath ox, and he did it every week faithfully.
See that? Seventh-day Adventist cows. I like that. Does anybody have a Seventh-day Adventist cow here? Now, you know what Seventh-day Adventist cows do, don't you? They have people that, since most cows are owned these days, they have a Seventh-day Adventist master that lets them rest on Sabbath. And some of them take the initiative, like this one. You see, but God works in mysterious ways, like the donkey, you know, with Balaam, has to say what needs to be said. But I think God is trying to give us a message, and he was giving this guy a message, that I am going to make it possible for you to keep the Sabbath and enjoy it. You know, you give money, and you end up with more money when you're done than when you started. And it's the same with time. You give a seventh of your time, and God supplies all your financial needs, and he takes care of all those things. Now, some people say, well, you know, I could make more money if I worked on Sabbath.
Uh-huh. You would see beavers all the time, every day. Whenever you go up on the Sabbath, you would not see a beaver the whole day. And it was that way every week.
Okay.
For 10 years.
Okay. So animals can be Sabbath keepers. And see, you know, the point is, I think God is trying to teach us a lesson. He's trying to help us understand. Now, I have some questions I want to ask you, some difficult questions, because in Leviticus chapter 23, turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Well, actually, this is not the text I'm going to ask you the difficult question. It'll be the next one. So at this point, God is saying we shouldn't be working on Sabbath, okay? Pay or no pay, shouldn't be working on Sabbath. So if I go home and I've got a barn that I need to fix, I should say, okay, I'm not going to fix it because I'm going to spend time thinking about Jesus, or I'm going to spend time doing other things. So what other kind of things does God want us to do on Sabbath? So in Leviticus 23, verse 3, it tells us, okay? Now, the reason I'm reading the Bible is because we could come up with all sorts of ideas, but we really want to base what we believe on what? On the Scriptures, what the Scriptures teach, okay? So it says, and this is 23, verse 3 of Leviticus, it says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, Sabbath rest, a holy convocation in all of your dwellings. So what's a holy convocation? Anybody know what a holy convocation is? Church service. So what is God telling us in this text? Not only do you get the day off, but you should spend time together with fellow believers. Okay? And it's he's telling us, do this. You will get a blessing. Anybody get a blessing from church? Anybody stay home for Sabbath and not have church and find it's really hard not to do some kind of work? You know, your little list, fix-it list, or your something needs to be done. It's really tough. You know, sometimes coming to church is a blessing. I have people who are not espoused to Adventists, and they say, it's so nice to be able to come to church. I wish I could stay the whole day because when I go home, all I get to do is watch my hubby watch football. And being at church is such a blessing because I get a break from that. And she says, if I turn the TV off, I might not make it. So sometimes you have to put up with a lot of the reason why God wants us to come to church, because it's a blessing. It's time to be together. It's time to be away from your home that needs all sorts of tweaking quite often. Now, this is one I want to ask you a question on. Okay, Exodus 31 verses 12 through 15. Exodus 31, 12 through 15. Because a lot of people come to me and they say, Pastor, we don't like Sabbath. Yes, we're Seventh-day Adventist. We keep Sabbath. But we really don't like Sabbath because of the way we were brought up. Because somebody harassed me because I wasn't keeping it just right. Because I did this or I did that and somebody was angry with me. And so Sabbath is starting to become less and less enjoyable because of all the difficult Adventists I have to socialize with. The ones that want to mind my business. You have something you want to say? Let me get the microphone. If I still have it over here, I do. So, these are some of the challenges. Okay? Should I follow everybody else's conscience?
I want to say that when you love someone, you really want to spend time with that person.
That's right.
If we don't love God or Jesus, how we want to spend time with him? I love my husband, and I enjoy seeing him eating my food and making him happy.
Doing
things
for him.
So if I come to church, God did three things when he finished creation. He blessed, sanctified, and rest. And he is still doing that until now. So when we come to church, we're going to be blessed and sanctified. Uh-huh. So if I don't come to church, I'm not going to be blessed.
That's right.
So we need to be blessed. We need to love God. If we not love him, we need to have a relationship with him every single day. So on Saturday, we're going to have that deep relationship, and we're going to be blessed and sanctified.
You're absolutely right. I like eating with my wife. Matter of fact, she was gone for a week, Southern California, and I had to eat alone. Well, I could have called one of you. Maybe I could have had you guys come over. But you know, when she came back, I was delighted. Got my wife to eat with again. Somebody to listen. Somebody to listen to. That's not the only reason I like to eat with my wife, but you follow what I'm saying. God created us as social. We need to be connected with people. Some of us are very introverted, which is okay. God creates some introverted. But still, that connection with people makes the difference in our lives. And we are community. When we get to heaven, we are going to be in community like we've never had community before. Okay? But we get some Adventists who are a little angry. The angry Adventists. Those are the ones that, if they see you doing something on Sabbath that they don't agree with, they will let you know. Okay? Should we listen to them? Or should we not? Sometimes we should say no just because I don't want to do anything you say. Because you're not being nice about it. Or should we say, you know, maybe they're right. Even though they're not kind about it, maybe I need to double check and see if this is what God wants me to do. Let me read this for you. Exodus chapter 31, 12 through 15. A little chunk here. It says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, and it shall be a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you." Okay, so now you're talking about when we get together, God wants to, his day is holy. When we spend time with him during that day, he helps us to be more holy. He sanctifies us, cleans us up, helps us to be more patient. As a matter of fact, if Sabbath is really working in our hearts, we should be more and more kind to the unthankful. Isn't that how God is? So you can tell if Sabbath is a blessing to you personally by the way you react to other people. Is it the opposite? Okay? So you keep reading, verse 14. It says, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death." Who? "For whosoever does not work on it, or for whosoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days work shall be done, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death." Okay. Why did God do this? Is he just being nasty? I mean, how many... Should we do this today? If somebody's not keeping the Sabbath, should we go out and... How many of you think would keep the Sabbath if we started doing that? How about if we made that a law in our town? Everybody had to keep the Sabbath, or else you would be... Why is God saying this? Does he want everybody to be fearful of him? I want you to think carefully. Why is God making the Sabbath connected with a death decree? Hold on. Now see, I don't know if I have all the answers. I'll give you some answers I could think of. But people will ask you this question.
So absolutely. So this is the time of the theocracy.
Okay.
So where's God? He's in their midst.
Okay.
And so when people disregard the Sabbath in the face of God, it's open rebellion, it's open defiance.
Okay.
And of course, in mercy to the faithful, the Lord puts those away who are in rebellion and defiance. But something else in this text, and it's something we read between the lines that we don't understand until we get to the prophecies of the Revelation. So the death penalty for the Sabbath has not ended, it's been postponed. Under the symbols of the seal of God, mm-hmm, and the mark of the beast, you see, that is the reckoning. So our worship for God must always be not on our terms. You know, much of religion today is what can I get out of it?
Okay.
I'm like the shopper. What's the word? A consumer approach to religion, totally disastrous. But
if I'm entertained, then yeah, I'll be happy. Yeah.
In true worship, you see, we are worshiping God on God's terms, in God's way, on God's day.
Okay.
When we don't have that in our hearts, you know, we don't have the new covenant experience. But the Sabbath, the penalty of death for Sabbath breaking has not ended. It's been postponed. It was placed on Jesus Christ on the cross. Okay. And for those who ignore Jesus, ignore the offer of rest that he gives, they will die for their sins under the symbol of the mark of the beast.
Okay. You know, I was, and it is true, the wages of sin is? Give me 1 minute and I'll get to you, okay? The wages of sin is death. This is true. I think the other thing, too, is that God was saying Sabbath breaking is not a little thing. This is serious. Is that true? Because a lot of people saying, come on, you know, I can understand, you know, you shouldn't go out and kill. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't dishonor your folks. But this Sabbath thing, who cares? You know, you keep whatever day you want. Or don't keep it at all. And I think part of the challenge we're having as Seventh-day Adventists is that mentality is starting to come into our midst. And we have people who say, you know, it doesn't make any difference what I do on Sabbath. I can do this, I can do that, I can work, I can be careful. Now, I'm not going to be able to read all our texts because we're getting more comments than I thought we might. But Nehemiah talks about not buying or selling on the Sabbath, okay? So let's clarify. What is black and white so far that we've read? You're not supposed to what? Not supposed to work, any kind of work, even if you don't get paid for it, okay? That's a good thing. Now, maybe I should go further. What if there's an emergency at the neighbor's house and I have to work to help him get to the hospital? Should I not do it because it's working on Sabbath? Okay. That's love. That's not work. That's love. Actually, there are some exceptions, okay? But the exception is not, I really just want to do this because I'd like to have more money. The exception is, I'm doing this for somebody else. There's an emergency type of setup that's coming.
You're under that. You work on the Sabbath.
I work on the Sabbath.
You get paid for it.
And yet I'm guilt-free. That's true. I get paid for it. That's right. This is my busiest day. Now, we're gonna look at some other things out of all this. But I'm going to skip the Nehemiah text. Nehemiah talks about how they had, this is in Nehemiah 13, but it talks about how they had people who were buying and selling and all this kind of stuff. And he said, wait a minute, this isn't good. Stop it. This is breaking the commandment. Don't be buying, don't be selling. And so people ask me, well, Pastor, is it okay to go out to eat on Sabbath? I don't have to prepare food as much. So technically, you're breaking the commandment because your servant, be it a man or a woman, you are making them work for you. Now, the best way to do it would be to prepare some food ahead so you can have you and your servant not have to work on Sabbath. Does this make sense? Now, I have some people that say, well, you can't use electricity on the Sabbath because the electric guys have to keep the grid going on Sabbath. How do you answer them? You don't know. That's an honest answer. I'm not sure if I have an answer for that either. However, what I'm going to do on the Sabbath to be able to spend time resting on the Sabbath. Okay, there's some things. You know, I had one guy say, well, we're not, actually, Orthodox Jews do not drive their cars on Sabbath. They consider them like their oxen. So we leave the car to rest. Should we do that as Seventh-day Adventists? Now, these are legitimate questions. How do we decide how to keep the Sabbath? You got a whole group of people that have decided not to drive cars on Sabbath. Be more work to walk? It would be hotter today, that's for sure. Well, let me before I get more comments, I want to finish up on this a little bit, because I had a comment over here that I missed. But you know, I think the key is simple. When we think of Sabbath keeping, we want to think of how we can honor God and not all the rules, because it becomes a burden then, and it doesn't become something you love. Okay.
Our work week should be getting prepared for Sabbath.
Ah.
If we think about God all day, all week, we talk to him.
Okay.
We talk to friends that come in, and we hear their stories about, and you'd be surprised how many people that I see that I would never think they'd ever talk, I've ever been in, that I can talk to about God, and he's been back twice. If we're prepared for Sabbath, our mind, this is our home, this is where God is. We come to see God. We don't come for ourselves.
So in other words, in order for me to enjoy church, which is part of Sabbath, the Holy Convocation, I might need to make sure I get enough rest during the week so when I get to church, I'm not just sleeping. Is that true?
The laws that you were speaking of, the Orthodox Jews, a lot of those laws, they made themselves up. They're not following biblical principles. They're just extra laws to make sure that they're not even coming close to breaking the Sabbath. They're not following the Bible, and that is legalism.
Yeah, and that's a good point. They actually have 613 laws. You guys think Adventists are particular about keeping Sabbath? Go spend some time with Orthodox Jews. Matter of fact, if you go to an Orthodox Jew's home, you will find that all of their switches on their walls, the electrical switches, are taped. Do you know? You are not to kindle a fire on the Sabbath. Now, the reason they said that is because when you had to kindle a fire, you had to go out and gather the wood, you had to cut it up, chop it up. I mean, you're talking about a four-hour affair just to kindle a fire. But the Jews have translated that, Orthodox Jews, not regular Jews, Orthodox Jews. Well, I guess Orthodox Jews are regular Jews, but the more conservative ones, they will turn the light on if they want to leave the light on all Sabbath, and they put a piece of tape over the switch so they don't flick it on or off by accident. And they even will go into the refrigerator and undo the light bulb so they can get food without kindling a light. Okay? Now, we smile, but sometimes Adventists can be just as comical about our Sabbath keeping. Okay? We need to find out where the areas that are black and white, very specific, and then the areas that are more gray, we can say it depends on the person. Okay? Now, when I first became a Sabbath keeper, if I didn't get my shower in before Sabbath started, I wouldn't take a shower until Sunday. And guess how I went to church sometimes? Wasn't good. And somebody came to me, and I was doing this for Jesus. I didn't want to desecrate his Sabbath. And I thought taking a shower was a lot of work. I mean, you know, you don't take enough showers, it could be a lot of work. However, I'm saying that as a young man. Some young men don't take enough showers. Anyways, Sabbath keeping, think about this. Do you honor God more by not taking a shower or coming to church clean and not repelling everybody at church. And I thought about it and I said, you know, he's right. So you have to use your brain when you're thinking about how personally to apply Sabbath keeping. Other people could tell you. It's like the lady who said, don't swim on Sabbath. I could think, okay, I found that in Ellen White's writings. We're not to be swimming. But I don't think she's talking about swimming that's like taking a walk and enjoying nature. She's talking about the rowdy, crazy swimming that a lot of people do. Or swimming in a place where everybody's half naked and you can't think about anything else because you're just, you know. But then I wouldn't go swimming there during the week if I had that problem. You follow what I'm saying? So these are things that we need to think about. What does it really mean? Now, if you go to Luke chapter, we're going to go for a little longer here. We're discussing, so we're getting a little more time in. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. What was Jesus' custom? You guys know this text. Best way to keep Sabbath is, okay? It says he came to Nazareth where he was brought up, and as his custom was, this is what he did all the time, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So was his custom to keep the Sabbath? Let me ask another question. Was his custom to be in synagogue or church? Was his custom to get up and read? Okay? So part of his example is not only keeping Sabbath, but also being in church. Okay, go to verse 31. It says he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. So he was in church. As a matter of fact, if you study Jesus' life, you will find that he was always in the temple or in church on Sabbath. And the reason I'm saying this is because I know some people say, well, you know, I had one guy who was a Presbyterian, and he started coming to our church. This was in Covelo, California. He started coming to our church. And his pastor was pretty slick. His pastor said, well, you want to be a Sabbath keeper? Great, I'll give you something to do every week, Sabbath morning. You can help so-and-so, you can help so-and-so. On Sabbath, you're supposed to do good. And so he wasn't coming to church week after week, and I went and visited him. I said, what's happening? He says, well, every Sabbath morning, the pastor has given me a whole list of tasks. No, Jesus was in church every Sabbath, and he did all the healing tasks after the service, after church time. As a matter of fact, go down to verse 38 and 39. This is Jesus, the same thing. It says, he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was ill with a high fever, and they brought him for her, or besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto him. But notice what it says in the text. He was in synagogue, and then in the afternoon he went out and did healing ministry. Should we follow his example? You see, so I talked to this. Who was that? What's that? He did heal people at the synagogue too. But the key was, is that he didn't violate the commandment that said you shall have a holy convocation. You should get together. Okay? So there's a number of different things that are happening. Okay, let's go to Mark. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through all these texts. I don't want to go too late here. Let's go to Mark chapter 23. Mark chapter 23. I'm sorry, Mark 2, 23. You're right. Mark doesn't have 23. It's only 16. Mark 2, 23. It says, and it came to pass that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to Pharisees. These are the legalists in the church. They said unto him, behold, why do they do on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have you not read what David did? When he had need and was hungry, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the show bread, which was not lawful to eat except for the priests, and gave also to them that were with him. And then he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So should we be out gathering grain on Sabbath? I'm asking you guys some, you know, you guys have to, somebody's going to ask you this question.
Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25, the land that formed gleanings of the fields, not for profit, but simply to have a day's meal.
Ah, okay. So they weren't out there gathering, they didn't have their truck out there with the semi, and they didn't have their combine, they weren't cutting all the grain, they were just eating stuff for the day, right? So does that mean, how do you apply that? That means I could go into the fridge and have an apple, and it's okay. Or I could go out into the orchard and walk around and enjoy the orchard and pick an apple and eat it without having a problem. Do you follow what happens to Sabbath when somebody is so meticulous that they make Sabbath miserable? So there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance. Now, was it wrong for David to eat the bread at the temple? It was against the law. But what was the problem? He was hungry. They hadn't had anything to eat. So sometimes they would do things in order to help other people. How would you apply this? Do you follow what I'm saying? How would you apply this for Sabbath keeping? If somebody came to you and said, I have had nothing to eat, and I'm really hungry, would it be wrong to get some food for them? Okay, no, maybe?
So there's a letter of the law, there's a spirit of the law. When I flew down to Las Vegas and came on a Friday night in August, my brother didn't have anything. I went out Sabbath morning, first thing, shopping, took care of him and his friend, and then went to church.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay. Generally, did you hear what he said? He ended up having to buy some food Sabbath morning because things came up. But generally speaking, we should plan ahead, right? I should go out shopping. Maybe I should even go out shopping and have some extra food around for the person who might come that I'm not expecting. Do you follow what I'm saying? Can you prepare ahead? I mean, we did this at one church. We had people who would come and say, well, we haven't had any food. We don't have money. So we made little food bags up for people. So people didn't have to take them to the grocery store to get food. We can just give them the bags at church. So there's a way to do the right thing. But if you don't have it all planned out and you do have to take somebody to the grocery store and buy them food, is that Sabbath breaking? You follow? Okay, so Sabbath breaking can't be too black and white. There's a time when you can technically break the Sabbath and still be following the spirit of the Sabbath. Okay? But don't take advantage of that. People do. Okay.
Sometimes you might have to go to a drugstore.
Okay.
To pick up some medication for someone in the family, a neighbor.
It's an emergency situation.
Yourself.
It's an emergency. Pick up, you might have to do something that you usually wouldn't do, but it's, now see, this is important. Because we don't want the Sabbath to be so restrictive that we are miserable. Let me get the microphone. I haven't been passing the microphone around. Okay? And then I want to look at a few other texts. But this is, I think this is important for us to talk about because we don't talk about it.
If you're following the spirit of the Sabbath, you can't break the Sabbath. You cannot separate the two. It is black and white. It's either right or it's wrong. We have to make judgments on it, but it is either right or wrong. It is either black or white. You can't separate the two.
Okay, this is true. We might think of it as, or somebody else might think of it as Sabbath breaking. But the truth is, when we are helping the poor, when we're doing an emergency situation, we're actually keeping the Sabbath.
Yes, the Sabbath, what I know is, remember what Jesus and his Striper was doing something on the Sabbath. And people say, well, you do that, you're not supposed to do on the Sabbath. And what I bring that in is because the example, we are Christians and we do know if your brother is sick right now, he needs help. and you just sit there and not helping the person is falling down the hole because it's a Sabbath? No, you have to help that.
Mm-hmm.
Is like they say, black and white, is there's something you can do on Sabbath to show God's love and the things you're not supposed to do on Sabbath.
Okay, very good. That's exactly it. So Jesus was in Sabbath in church in the morning. In the afternoon, he was out doing ministry. Is that something we should be doing?
Yes, of course. The other thing that I was thinking is that we might do well to rethink our definition of emergencies sometimes. There might be other ways to take care of things, and it might even be a good thing to fast for a day. But what came to my mind was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that it was really black and white. I mean, it was an emergency. It was a life or death situation.
You either bow down or you don't. Yeah.
They could have knelt down and prayed to their God, misconstrued by other people that would have thought that they were worshiping a false god. So I'm just saying that, you know, they actually made a life and death God said, rather than, I wonder.
Yeah. You know, we could probably have 3 or 4 Sabbaths just discussing how to keep the Sabbath, because I think it's important for us that the Sabbath, as you were saying, how do other people see our Sabbath keeping? Do they say, there's one of them Sabbath keepers, we can't do anything on their day? Because we have relatives that are not Sabbath keepers. And they want to go out to eat, and they want to do this, and they want to go to the fairs, and they want to do all that stuff. And they say, no, but we can't do it because Dean and Karen are here. And they'll have to stay home by themselves. So sometimes it's really difficult for us to figure out a way to make Sabbath enjoyable. So we say, you know, and for our family, since we're so indecisive, it's actually a blessing, because by the time they decide where to go out to eat, the Sabbath is already over. So we just go anyways because it's already over. But you know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to know what to do. Now, what if you make a mistake? You have good intentions. You're trying to keep the Sabbath. You're trying to help somebody who doesn't have any money or doesn't have the opportunity to get food. You don't have the food for them. And you do that. Does God forgive you if you are intending to do the right thing on the Sabbath and you mess up? Could God forgive Karen for driving to the mall? Do you follow what I'm saying? Or do we worship a God that is so strict that if I slip, I'm out of luck? You follow? I mean, and I'll tell this story and then we're going to have to close. But when we were in St. George, you guys know where St. George is? Utah, southern Utah. We drove down and I looked at the gas tank on the way down and I said, oh no, we forgot to get gas ahead of time. You know, you buy gas ahead of time. But it was, a 45-minute drive down, 45-minute back. So we drove down to church, did everything at church, and I said, well, maybe God's going to make our gas tank go even though it's below empty. You know, it gets below empty. These days, the car has a little yellow light that goes beep, beep, beep. And so on the way home, and I'm the pastor, on the way home, we prayed about it, and I said, Lord, are you going to make our tank go all the way back home? He did that one time. But I said, Lord, I don't think that's what you want me to do. So I pulled over to the gas station, and I got out of the car, and this is self-serve in Utah. So I got out of the car, and I looked around. No church members. I said, good, they're not getting gas too. And I plugged the thing in and hopped back in the car while it was filling up so nobody could see who was doing it. When I was all done, we drove off. And I said, I hope nobody saw me doing that. Was that the right thing to do? I ended up standing up in church and telling everybody, said, you know what I did the other week? I ended up getting gas on Sabbath. And I said, let me tell you the circumstances. So the bottom line is, you cannot judge other people about their Sabbath keeping because you don't know the circumstances. So have lots of grace for people, okay? Even the people who deliberately break the Sabbath, I know people who, you know, they're out shopping or out, you know, doing whatever they're doing on Sabbath. Can you have grace for those people too? If you can't, maybe your Sabbath keeping is not sanctifying you very much. Because your Sabbath keeping should have, you should be able to have patience for people who might not understand the Sabbath correct. And we have some people like that. Patience for the people who are very liberal. Patience for people who are very conservative with the Sabbath. Isn't that what God wants us to have? Because we're all learning. How do we do this better? So ask God for patience. Let's have prayer. 12:30, I told you I'd be done. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Please give us wisdom. You know, we had lots of discussion today about how to keep the Sabbath, what your word tells us to do, how to interpret that, how to apply that in our lives. We just pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom. Help us to follow the conscience that you've given us for ourselves. Help us to be wise in trying to encourage other people to follow the Sabbath. Help us not to be judgmental or harsh. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would change us through our Sabbath keeping to be more Christ-like with everybody that we come in contact. We just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide us and move in our lives and help people to see the love of Christ through our Sabbath. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.